This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to our number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. It's good to be with you on this Holy Wednesday of Holy Week, also known as Spy Wednesday, with much more on that coming up. And remember, there's only a few days, a couple of days left this Holy Week, so you can still make it a good Lent. If you do nothing else, as I've been saying now for days and days, please try to get to confession, the sacrament of joy, before Good Friday. You can also prepare your hearts and minds with our special presentation with Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky, Close to Jesus to the Last, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central today and the rest of Holy Week. Father Rocky will take you into the events of Jesus' last days before His Passion that led to His glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. You also have two opportunities to pray the Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. At noon with Bishop Robert McClory, live from the Shrine of Christ's Passion in St. John, Indiana. And at 3 p.m. Central during the Hour of Power with Father Rocky at the Chapel of the Nativity in Green Bay. We'll also broadcast the Easter Vigil Mass on Saturday from the Vatican with Pope Francis, live at 12:30 p.m. Central, right here on Relevant Radio. In fact, for a complete guide of all of our special Holy Week programming, all you have to do is look for the banner at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Now, the Brooklyn, New York subway shooting is making headlines this morning. I want to bring in my colleague, our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what else do we know this morning about this horrible event in Brooklyn?
Well, John, the massive manhunt continues. A person of interest, 62-year-old Frank James, someone the police would really like to get in contact with. Again, that shooting, the gunman threw two smoke bombs and the train car fired 33 times yesterday. 10 victims were shot, 19 others hurt in all the fuss as well, and trying to escape the danger. It looks like everyone should pull through, so that's some really good news, but police still on the hunt there, John.
Yeah, in many ways, it was miraculous that with all that chaos and all those bullets flying, that so far no one has died from this tragic situation.
You know, and things similar to that, when danger happens, I never cease to be amazed at the amount of video of people stopping to take pictures as opposed to just, you know, fleeing to safety.
That was incredible. Yeah, there's a lot of different videos of that. We continue to keep an eye on the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, now in day 49. What's the latest this hour?
No confirmation yet. Some concern that the Russians in Mariupol had used chemical weapons. No confirmation yet, but President Biden calling the Russian activity in Ukraine genocide. 200 children plus killed so far in that conflict. And negotiations kind of stalled with President Putin of Russia saying peace talks had hit a dead end, and he vowed he'll not stop military operations until Moscow succeeds.
And Glenn, at the Vatican, as we heard from our very own Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, last hour, Pope Francis, the Holy Father, during his audience, called the war in Ukraine an outrage and a blasphemy against God.
He continues to speak out against it, and we need to continue to blanket that situation in prayer, John.
Absolutely. We have to keep a supernatural perspective. As always, thanks so much, Glenn. And if anything breaks, please let us know.
Hey, sounds good.
We begin every hour in prayer, and we especially continue to pray as we've been doing for so long for peace in Ukraine, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, uniting ourselves to the Holy Father's consecration of Ukraine and Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Philippians 2, verses 8 through 11. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." During this Holy Week, let us remember that this is what it's all about. Jesus the Lord, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. God is reminding us that he is love and loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us from sin and death so that we could have eternal life. This Holy Week and the upcoming sacred Paschal Triduum is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, as the days of Holy Week continue, several events occur that directly lead to what will take place on Good Friday. Among these events was the faithful betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ by one of his own disciples. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 26 says, "Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment on, he sought an opportunity to betray him." Joining us now is our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tayon, with much more on the meaning of Holy Wednesday, also known as Spy Wednesday. Father Tayon is the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a longtime Relevant Radio and Morning Air regular contributor. Good morning, Father Tayon. Great to be with you once again. Thanks for joining us on this Holy Wednesday.
Good morning and blessed Holy Week to you, to everyone.
Thank you, Father. First of all, can you explain for us the meaning of Holy Wednesday and why it's also known as Spy Wednesday?
Well, it's the day in tradition that we hold that Judas Iscariot, of course, one of Jesus' closest people, really, apostle, betrayed him today, right? For just a very small amount of money, for 30 pieces, he went and showed them where Jesus was staying so they could actually have him arrested. And many of us know the story. We hear it on the Passion readings on Palm Sunday and Good Friday. But he betrayed him with a kiss. He said, "Whoever I, you know, come up to and kiss him on the cheek is the one that is he." So it's a very sad thing because so many reasons. You know, you think Jesus would wash the foot of Judas at the Last Supper, and he would, you know, it's interesting in the Gospels, we're told no one can tell. Jesus predicts a betrayal, and none of the apostles can tell who it is. They ask if it's themselves. It creates a consternation at the meal that, again, the duplicity of Judas was so hidden that you would think everyone would have known who who it was, but nobody did except Christ himself. And even this really leads to the layers, if you will, of duplicity inside Judas, that he was unknown but to the Lord. So it's a day that's fascinating. It's a day that's mysterious. It's a day that's sad. But it's also a day that we see the Lord's unconditional love, his relentless opportunity to offer mercy for every sinner, as Judas was afforded that gift from Jesus till his very last moment in this world. And of course, we contrast him to Peter's receiving the gift of mercy. And we could have St. Judas Iscariot churches all over the world today, and the gospel could have ended differently, but in his freedom, Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus. So today we call it Spy Wednesday. Again, no one knew who it was who would betray Jesus, but it was Judas Iscariot. So the scriptures share that with us, and today's the day to ponder that. And I would suggest it's easy to think about other people's foibles and weaknesses, but today, you know, where is there a little Judas in us? And say, I'm not Judas. We would never do that. But in some ways we do. Where do we sin? You talked about confession at the top of the program. Where do we need to acknowledge our betrayals, where we haven't loved like Christ, we haven't given in our own relationships, usually the closest ones, our own vocations, our own day-to-day lives, where haven't we been with the Lord 100%. And those are the times where today I think it's a good way to get ready for the Triduum, which starts tomorrow, Holy Thursday. But Spy Wednesday can be a time to, if you will, be more honest with oneself as to the areas that are perhaps in the dark or underground, where others don't see, but we see in our conscience before the Lord.
And Father Tyone, I'm so glad that you brought up the comparison between Judas and Peter. We've all had a little Judas and a little Peter in all of us. And in fact, you know, in the scriptures, we see that this betrayal of our Lord is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. So it's really something that we really can meditate on. Do we react like Judas did, or do we react like Peter did? Saint Peter, who answered to the Lord three times later on that he did love him when he was asked a chance to really turn things around and make amends. So our Lord Jesus' mercy is infinite, and he's always just waiting for us to come to him and say we're sorry for whatever we do.
And we won't be in a predicament, of course, like Judas, where we have to, you know, literally, if we go betray Jesus, he'll literally physically get crucified. But in other ways, there are so many similarities, right? In conversation, when have we betrayed the Lord and not spoke about him or his teachings or the desires of the Sacred Heart to other people? When have we not confessed our sins, you know, by the sins of Christ and not received all that mercy? So, yeah, those kind of things, I think the places we're with Judas today are places like that. Conversation, our prayer lives, I think in day-to-day life is where it mostly happens, not in the great, you know, acts of missionary or great things that God asks us to do, or in spectacular liturgies where our souls are lifted and hopefully everyone can participate this weekend, everything at your local parish or shrine, but to follow Jesus in everything. But Peter, I'm glad we know so much about Peter's weaknesses. He's really the apostle I think we know the most about, and we know a lot of his kinks. And again, you mentioned that great conversation where Jesus heals him by allowing him to say he loves Christ in front of others. Besides, I think admitting your love before others is even a higher witnessing to it than a vulnerability there. And we see that in Peter with the others around the fire after the resurrection. And it's a powerful moment for him, but also for us. And I think we're in the same spot with our Lord. The Lord would ask us the same questions. And again, Holy Thursday, great time to really meditate on that too. You know, we ask, you know, John, do you love me? We hear, you know, Jesus asking us that, and we'd say yes. And what he's going to say, feed my sheep. That means, you know, take care of your children, be good to your coworkers, greet someone on the street, be kind to the other parishioners and people you work with. Be good with others at school for me. This is the same way the gospel's lived out today. It's not something only from the past, but in fact is very, very present, which is why the gospel and Christ is alive. He's alive in us today. And this Holy Week, I always pray, let's have the best Holy Week we've ever had. Let's beg Jesus, give me the best Holy Week I've ever had. And then he will give us that. We just have to be good beggars and be open to the radicalness of identifying with each of these people that are in the Lord's life.
And Father Tyone, on this Holy Wednesday, we also remember the day when Mary of Bethany anointed Jesus with the expensive perfume, wiping it with her hair. And then Judas, rebukes her for wasting the money on perfume. But our Lord saw the great love and sincerity of Mary. Meanwhile, Judas is just acting like the thief that he was.
Yeah, he's kind of sees it finished, but I think it's even a little deeper, right? Perhaps he didn't have that closeness to Jesus. Might have been some envy even in his heart as how, you know, how loving Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were to Jesus and the intimacy in God that their relationship was. And in his heart, Judas didn't have that. So he was around Jesus. He was with him all the time. Matter of fact, maybe even more than them, getting some catechesis and lessons, but it hadn't penetrated his heart and his intellect. And that's what we see in we too, right? If we practice our faith, we get the Eucharist often, we too have to be on guard that we're not, reticent or unknowingly, just being pious, but making sure our hearts know the Lord. So when she did that action, she was worshiping God, adoring him with great, just relentless generosity, and the Lord received that from her. And of course, Judas was worried about just the financials, but in the end, I think his heart might have been envious, or at least distant from Christ, but also maybe a bit envious. And of course, I think in modern days, you know, Mother Teresa, the missionaries of charity, do amazing work. They live radical lives of humility, and they live among the poor. And in Mother Teresa's convents, the tabernacles that hold Christ are always quite nice, and I think that's case in point here. It'd be like the oils, you know, the tabernacle, missionary charity, give everything to the poor, and they eat last, and teach us, model for us how to live a Christian life every day in their religious life. But I always find that their tabernacles are very nice. They spend money on that within reason, nothing crazy, but they spend money on those tabernacles because it's Christ himself, in a way like pouring the oil in the convent upon the tabernacle. So I find in the modern world, it's a nice similar example for me of what happens in the gospel that you're talking about.
Father Tyone, what is the connection between Tenebrae and Spy Wednesday that we're celebrating today?
Yeah, so Tenebrae is not celebrated, at least in many parishes. I don't know if you've been to a Tenebrae service or not. We have them here. We don't have them in my parish. But we have them around. But yet, a Tenebrae service is it means a service of darkness. It's held during the preaching days. There's different candles that are lit and different readings that are given, sort of like the end of the darkness. So it's kind of it's very beautiful. I've seen it done in radically different ways in parishes, very, very creative and very traditional. So it's really the Tenebrae services that are usually held today or in these coming days. I've seen them moved around during Holy Week a bit. But it is that the time in Western Christianity, that's the days before Easter where the readings are done. And it's really, really the story, if you will, of exiting the darkness and coming into the light and following that through the scriptures, actually. So it's some of it, many times it's sung, and other times I've actually heard it said. So a lot of people don't know, but it's the word for darkness or shadows. And there's readings, and the candles go out until there's only darkness. And then it's obviously getting us ready for Easter in the biggest picture possible. So Tenebrae services, it's funny, they're fluid in a lot of different places around our country, and some parishes have tremendous traditions around that, and others do not. So I don't know where you live, if they have that or if you've been to that. But they're very beautiful. They're done, some very simply, some elaborately, and they're all other ways to enter into, to come to know Christ, and especially to make this week holy. Again, we're in Holy Week, so Tenebrae can help make this week holy.
Father, can you explain how today's Spy Wednesday, how these events usher in the final days of Jesus' life here on earth and directly lead to the passion and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ on Good Friday?
Yeah, and the most important thing we have to meditate on, I think, is that Jesus freely, we hear in the Eucharistic prayer, willingly gave himself up to death, right? St. Catherine said it, look at the nails on his hands, on his feet. The nails in his hands and feet did not keep him on the cross. It's his love for you in freedom that kept Christ on the cross. So remember, he willingly, freely chooses to be crucified, willingly, freely chooses to die. And we need to, when we see the cross, we have to see love there and the unconditional self-giving love of God, and not some obligatory forced labor kind of crucifixion. So we have to make sure we get to the bottom, to the back, underneath the heart of Jesus and his love and the Father's love, why this happened. And I think it's something we have to permeate in our intellect and in our thoughts and our prayers, but we're coming to this crescendo of what God did, but God freely chose to die and send his only son. So the Father does that. Jesus does it freely and not under sort of a duty obligation. Duty is good in our lives, but he did it freely. And I think that's the point that can help us really change our Holy Week and what we look at when we think of the cross, we look at a crucifix, what happened there? How did this happen? It only happened by the power of God's freedom and his freedom to willingly choose to die for us. So he didn't have to, and he chose to. And in our own crosses, in our lives, whatever they are this week, you know, we should also meet Jesus there and freely, willingly stay at the cross with Christ and see love poured out that, and trusting in the divine abandonment to the divine providence of God. This is how Easter's lived out. It's not only dressing up and having nice food on Sunday, but more importantly, it's in the heart and the mind and the believer in our own daily lives. This is where Easter's lived out, and that's what we're called to do. So that's why we're so blessed. Holy Week is such a blessing. Church invites us to do it each year, because each year we're all in a different place, and the people we love in a different place, the world's in a different place, and we need it again. And Mother Church gives us this great gift to remember and enter into what kept Christ on that cross, and freedom to love is really why we should see freedom, and we too should choose in faith and trust to live like that today and every day of our lives.
Father Tyone, one last thought I wanted to get your take on as a Catholic priest, the importance and what it means for you, Holy Thursday, when Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist as well as the priesthood.
Yeah, overwhelming. Again, if you're a listener and you haven't gone to Holy Thursday Mass or Triduum, because it's probably the least attended or least known about, but Christ instituted the priesthood and the Eucharist. Certainly one of my favorite nights of the year, even before I was a priest, but now tenfold. It's a very holy night. It's the Passover. It's such drama happening. Jesus will be arrested. He'll be, you know, eventually tortured, and all these awful things will happen, but he willingly knows. He knows he's going to be arrested and crucified. He washes the feet, but he himself institutes the Eucharist and his Holy Priesthood at that Last Supper, that first Mass. And it's from the Catholic Church looks to that night for our very roots, that and Pentecost being the two nights where the bookends of the existence of the Church we know today. You know, Father, it's not Father T's priesthood or your pastor's priesthood or your priest. We share in his priesthood. And he, again, fulfilled the Old Testament priesthood, and he is the Lamb of God, so there's no sacrificial lamb anymore at the temple. But today the temple is Christ, and he's in us, and we worship him fully at the Eucharist, receiving and giving him. And we remember and pray for priests tomorrow, priests and seminarians, I think, in a particular way. We'd ask for your prayers, lift up all the priests today, that they may experience the joy and the intimacy and the promise and the transformation that is Holy Thursday. So encourage you, if you've never been, please go. I find that Mass, particularly for Catholics, is the most sacred night that really fuels the next 2 days in helping us understand the motive of why God chooses to stay with us through the Eucharist and the priesthood. So God desires to remain with us, so close he is to us, that those two sacraments are the sacraments of staying, the sacraments of remaining here until the last day. So how good is God to us? He's so generous and so loving. So I appreciate you asking that question.
Amen. Well, Father Tyone, I so much appreciate your spiritual insights and spiritual direction, especially here on this Spy Wednesday, as we look forward to the Easter Triduum, the 3 days that changed the course of human history. Thanks so much, Father Tyone.
God bless you. Blessed Holy Week.
Many blessings to you the rest of Holy Week in the Easter Triduum. Our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Taillon, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and of course, a longtime Relevant Radio regular contributor. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Career coach Bruce Lochenour will be with us for the latest on the job market and landing your dream job. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This hour brought to you in part by Father Stu, starring Mark Wahlberg along with Mel Gibson, exclusively in movie theaters nationwide on April 13, rated R, under 17, not admitted without a parent.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Once again, it's time to continue our series on how to land your dream job with career coach Bruce Lochenour, who will take your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, the last time we got together, we talked about fitting into a company's culture. Today, we're going to discuss the labor market and more on the 12 steps of landing your dream job. Step number 11 is reference checking and background checks. And of course, you can always send your questions to Bruce. Real easy, bruce@relevantradio.com. That's bruce@relevantradio.com. Let me tell you a little bit about Bruce Lochenour. He has a bachelor's degree in economics from Northwestern University and an MBA from Harvard. He has spent the last 25 years working with public and private company board of directors, CEOs, and top executives on their careers and talent needs. Bruce is with us here this morning to share some insights and answer your questions about finding and landing your dream job. Good morning, Bruce. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again here during Holy Week.
Good morning, John. Happy Holy Week. The pleasure is all mine.
Thank you, Bruce. Tell us, first of all, what is going on with the labor market? It continues to be in the news. Is it still white hot?
It is, John. It is. It's the latest data, and I want to put this thing in perspective for our listeners, but because we just keep getting this incredible data. Initial jobless claims, which is tells us about how many people companies are laying off, hit an all-time low. And the last time it was this low was like 1968, and the labor force is about half as big as it is. So it's really low. So what it says is companies are giving their employees a big bear hug. They're not letting anybody go. They know how hard it is to get people, so they're holding on pretty tight.
That's good news. That's good news. It's interesting. I was looking through the financial news, and I noticed CNBC just yesterday was reporting that the war for talent continues, with 40% of recent job switchers are again looking for a new position, according to a recent survey. What's your take on that?
You know, it's so we should put it in perspective. You know, as you mentioned, I got my undergraduate degree in economics, and if you think about this, to try and simplify it, if we think about the demand for labor and the supply for labor, so things have changed not too much on demand, but dramatically on supply. Demand for labor. Before we hit this quarantine, we were going all out. We hit record low unemployment. All sectors were hitting on all cylinders. Very healthy economy. You know, stock market was record highs, et cetera, et cetera. No big issues. And then we hit the quarantine, and now we're racing back. Again, still no big issues that should hold us back. A little bit with travel and hospitality, and that's why they haven't come back quite as strong. But we picked up where we left off. And you see signs of this everywhere, with the Help Wanted ads, with companies advertising on the Super Bowl and through social media to try and get workers. And, you know, record number of openings. So the demand's there. The companies are looking for the talent. But the supply is a little bit, that's where it gets interesting, John. There are two interesting things. One, you alluded to in the CNBC article, is there's a new mindset amongst employees. Having been in the quarantine, you know, you heard great resignation, LinkedIn calls it the great reshuffling, I call it the great reawakening, that people stepping out of their normal routine said, hey, I think there's a better way or a better role. And they looked and found one and made a move. So you've got this mindset of a very fluid labor market that people are, know that they can change. They've seen people around them changing. They decide what's important. But in addition to the great resignation, is this great imbalance. There are, we talked about this before, John, there are only about half as many people looking for work as there are jobs. There are 11 million jobs and only 6 million unemployed job seekers. And it's, you know, for a whole bunch of reasons, boomers that have stepped out of the labor force, although they're starting to come back. In March, they showed they're coming back about the rate they used to before the quarantine. You've got the entrepreneurs and gig workers, people who during the quarantine saw they'd like to trade crypto or sell something online, what have you, and started their own business. Economists talk about fewer immigrants. We talked about how there are parents that have decided to stay home, one or the other parent, because they were helping their kids in remote learning, may have switched to homeschooling, may have felt wealthier due to the stock market increase and some of the money that was flowing around during the quarantine. And then the COVID gap, we talked about this, which was, I find fascinating, is that there's still a bunch of people, millions of people, that are either afraid to go back to the workplace or caring for people with COVID. So you've got this acute demand. When we were going strong before the quarantine and now we're strong again and trying to catch up, and then fewer workers in the marketplace. So it's a pretty hot market.
It sure sounds like it, Bruce. And I'm, you don't need to have a degree in economics from Northwestern to know that when the demand goes up, the supply goes down, prices and wages go up. So what does this mean for all of us?
Yeah, you know, it means, because there are two parts of this looking for your dream job. If you're in your dream job, you should make sure that you are fairly compensated in that role. The like most markets, this market doesn't just move in a linear fashion. Sometimes it does, but it's made a huge step up so that people in similar roles are making a lot more than they used to. And usually those changes happen when you make a job change, but it doesn't have to be that way. So the Conference Board, which is a non-for-profit business research group that's been around for more than 100 years, did a survey, and they showed that a third of the people that have changed jobs recently were making more than 30% than they made in their previous role. So I'm not advocating job change for job change sake, but I'm saying two things, John, is that this market is so hot that if something's not right, this is the time to do it, because it's going to be harder later. And if for some reason we had a caller, we had an email that talked about being in a role and being concerned that they were paid under market, what should they do? This, and we talked about this when we talked about negotiating. This is the time to take a look at what others are making, and it's not hard to do, and make sure that you're at where you should be.
Bruce, drawing from your experience and what you've seen recently, do you think people are making decisions based on their heart or with their intellect?
Hopefully both, John. hopefully both. And I'm hoping, you know, we talked about the first step, which is probably the most important step in the whole process. And I was listening to your show with Harry, where you highlighted a CNBC piece about a woman who left Microsoft, went to Meta/Facebook, and then bounced back in less than 6 months. That first step is to prayerfully discern what that dream job looks like. So figuring out what you're good at, figuring out what your passions are, and then finding out what opportunities there are out there that would align with those. And making sure that when you do make that move, that there's a good culture fit. Now, my guess is that I don't know for a fact, but that the Microsoft employee, we've talked about this too, anyone who's been in one company for a long time, I don't know this woman, but if she'd been at Microsoft for a long time, went to Meta, if she assumed everything was like Microsoft, she would have been surprised and said, well, hey, this isn't the same as I expected. If you make a move, you need to change your expectations. But heart or intellect, I think, hopefully it'll be both. And not about the money, but about this will give me a better life balance. This will allow me to achieve my personal goals, my professional goals, my supernatural goals. I think, you know, the Great Awakening was about people saying, wow, I don't have to commute. I can have lunch with my family. I can have dinner. I can go to the soccer game, what have you. Now, I'm not saying don't work hard and put in the hours. We all have to do that and offer it up, you know, to our Lord as for an intention. But we can do it on our terms, certainly in this market. We talked about that with the people who are afraid of going back to the workplace because of COVID. There are remote work opportunities out there. So hopefully discerning prayerfully, getting input from others, from spiritual directors, from people who know us, we can target what's great. And John, with this market the way it is right now, now's the time.
Well, I love that you always bring in a spiritual perspective to our discussions on finding that dream job. So we're gonna chat a little bit about where the job market is headed. And also, I want to dive back into your 12 steps on landing that dream job. I want to invite our listeners, if you have a question for Career Coach Bruce Lochenour, a question about finding your dream job somewhere along the line of the process, anything you might want to ask Bruce. We have lines open. He's taking your calls. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out, but we'll continue our conversation with Career Coach Bruce Lochenour. Stay with us. We'll be back with more after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Working for a living, working. Working for a living. Working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
888-914-9149. Yes, we're talking about working for a living and landing that dream job with our career coach, Bruce Lochenour. Again, if you want to be with us, if you have a question for Bruce, any advice that you might be seeking on landing that dream job, please give us a call. Again, 888-914-9149. We've got a couple of callers that are waiting for us, Bruce. But first, I wanted to just get your take on where you think the job market is headed. What is the new normal, in your opinion?
You know, I don't think this is going to last forever. Now, economists are great about saying what will happen, but not when. But I think there are enough warning lights right now that are hitting us that suggests that if you wanted to make that move or if you wanted to get your compensation adjusted to the market, you should do it now. The warning lights are the inflationary environment we're in. We just saw yesterday 8.5%. Supply chain issues, and then a technical thing for economists called the inverted yield curve. But inflation, you know, John, we all are spending more on everything, so we have less discretionary income, meaning fun income for vacations or buying a new bicycle or what have you. That's going to work through the economy, and it'll also work through interest rates, which will eventually hurt the housing market, which is a huge part of driving the economy. So you got inflation, you got the supply chain. Toyota and General Motors came out and said their sales are down because they don't have product to sell. Well, guess what? If sales are down, earnings are going to be down unless they do something on the cost basis. So I'm concerned that they're going to be cutting costs, including, you know, maybe labor costs. I've got another client that is in the electronics business. They can't get their stuff through the ports in Long Beach right now. So that's flashing yellow light number two. And three is this inverted yield curve, which just means it's something that happens in the bond market that usually only happens right before a recession. So those three things are happening right now. So, you know, carpe diem, John. Seize the day. Make it happen now.
Before we get to a couple of callers that are waiting, can you give us just a real quick reminder on the importance of reference checking and background checks?
Sure, you bet. So any opportunity for which you're going to apply is going to verify your education. So on your resume on LinkedIn, if you attended, say attended. If you have a degree, say you have a degree. And then almost all will also verify your most recent or a couple back jobs that you indeed were at that company doing what you said. If you've got a high-powered role where either senior in the company or financial related or maybe sensitive information related, they're going to go and do a full background check on you, John. And that's checking your criminal records, your credit records, as well as the other things we talked about. And these are incredibly thorough. And then they'll check references. And references, this is how a company validates those stories that you told during the interview process. So you gave it, we talked about how to prepare for an interview. The job description tells you, is the answer key. You need to have stories about what you've done that are similar to what they need done. In checking references, they'll talk to your former bosses, former peers, people that worked alongside you, and if you had people working for you, former subordinates, and ask them about times they saw you doing the same thing. So they'll get those stories, pictures of the stories of how you behave, which will help them understand, yeah, you can do it, and yeah, you're going to fit. The way you did it will help them understand that you're going to fit.
Bruce, we have time for a couple of phone calls. Christina is joining us this morning from Arizona. Christina, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Bruce Lochenour.
Thank you, and God bless you all. I was just wanting to call. I'm a teacher, and unfortunately, Arizona is ranked 49th in pay for teachers, and I'm working through a contractor, and I just needed some advice. I'm a single mom now and having to refinance my house in this market, and wanted the best contract for this upcoming year, and I wanted to know how I would negotiate it when they come with a base, you know, pay and things like that.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You bet, Christina. Thanks for calling in. So the key to this, I would go back and just go to the relevant radio app and pull up the show we did on negotiating. We did two. We did one, preparing for negotiations, and then negotiating. Preparing is important. Knowing what the job pays. You obviously are attuned to doing some research, knowing that it's 49th, but see what you can go. There are a lot of salary sites out there. See what other schools are paying and what your school is paying in advertising for this role. With that data, and then think broadly. I don't know what other levers there are of compensation, be it vacation time, paid vacation time, be it overtime, be it what have you, other areas where you can get additional compensation in addition to the base salary. And present that to your employer before the negotiation begins. And position the negotiation not as a confrontation, not as you versus them, but as a, here's the data, Mr. Supervisor, Ms. Supervisor, that suggests that I should be paid, you know, 15% more than I'm getting paid currently because, you know, here it is. Help work with me. Let's work on this together to come up with a great solution so that I can be able to refinance my mortgage and continue, you know, in this school and this role in which I love.
Thanks so much, Christina. I appreciate it. We have time to squeeze in Kevin joining us from Virginia. Good morning, Kevin. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. You're on with Bruce. So we're a little short on time.
Yes, I'm interested. I actually do consulting, but I'm interested in any feedback you can give with regard to setting up a fee or schedule of fees for doing consulting on my own.
Yeah, you bet, Kevin. Thanks for calling in. I'm a consultant as well in the executive search market. The good news is there are norms around what we do, and we can negotiate around those norms. Again, I think data is the secret and the key. I would look at what others charge that in your industry, in your sector, and in adjacent sectors to get a sense. And talk to, if you've got some existing clients, you can talk to them about what they pay for other consultants. Understanding the market will help you value your services. So I would also not be afraid of going on LinkedIn, finding other consultants in your area that work with a similar client base, you know, that aren't competitive, and engaging them in conversations. Or, you know, network and find friends that have friends that are consulting. The more data you get, the better equipped you're going to be to come into a negotiation.
Thanks so much, Kevin. I appreciate the call. Bruce, we got about 30 seconds. Just a quick final thought on the importance of references.
Yeah, so references are gold, John. You want to use them sparingly. You don't list them on your resume. You have a list and a comprehensive list. When you get to the very end of the process, you provide that list as broad as possible so that it looks like you're not hiding anything. If you do have something you're concerned about, someone you don't want to, you know, if you had a run-in or something, you may want to disclose that to be ahead of it. But it's an important part of the process for both sides. For candidates, that you have people that support what you've shared with them throughout the process, and for employers to skip this step. You do so at your peril. This is how you can get validation on that this person is exactly whom you need.
Bruce, as always, appreciate your insights, all your advice. Our listeners can reach Bruce at bruce@relevantradio.com. That's bruce@relevantradio.com. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Bruce.
Thank you, John. Have a great Holy Week.
Many blessings to you, too. Bruce Lockenauer, and now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called It Happened Just As He Said by Peter Kennedy. From Mark 16, don't be alarmed, he said, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. Former White House counsel Charles Colson, convicted for his involvement in the Watergate scandal as an assistant to President Nixon, was often asked about the resurrection and if it could be a hoax with a cover-up to make it look like Christ rose from the dead. He answers, the Watergate cover-up reveals the true nature of humanity. Even political zealots at the pinnacle of power will, in the crunch, save their own necks even at the expense of the ones they profess to serve so loyally. But the apostles could not deny Jesus because they had seen him face to face and they knew he had risen from the dead. No, you can take it from an expert in cover-ups. I've lived through Watergate. That nothing less than a resurrected Christ could have caused those men to maintain to their dying whispers that Jesus is alive and is Lord. 2,000 years later, nothing less than the power of the risen Christ could inspire Christians around the world to remain faithful, despite prison, torture, and death. Jesus is Lord. That's the thrilling message of Easter. It's an historic fact, one convincingly established by the evidence, and one you can bet your life on. Christ's resurrection is an historical fact. It happened on the first day of week following Passover in the city of Jerusalem. Our faith is grounded in history, not a philosophy. Today in prayer, thank Christ that he not only predicted his resurrection, but he also fulfilled it so we may have hope in him. From Matthew 28, 5 and 6, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.
And thanks so much, Glenn. Jesus is Lord. This is what it's all about. This is what this Holy Week is all about. In fact, as we continue with this Holy Week, you can prepare your heart and mind with our special presentation of Close to Jesus to the Last, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central during this Holy Week. Father Rocky will take you into the events of Jesus' last days before his passion that led to his glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. Let's continue to also pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. Pray to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show. And with Father Rocky, you can pray the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central tonight right here on Relevant Radio. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for the entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.